Today, the Canadian Parliament passed legislation to legalize gay marriage throughout that country. The measure is expected to be signed into law next month when Canada will become the world's third country to permit same-sex marriage. But the move didn't come without controversy, nor is that controversy over by any means. We want to hear from Canadians in our audience. What do you think of the law? And for American listeners, will having a neighbor with the policy change the debate here in the U.S.? Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can send us an email at totn@npr.org. Here now to tell us more is Warren Clements, a member of the editorial board of the Toronto newspaper The Globe and Mail, joins us from his office in Toronto, Canada. Welcome to the program, Warren.
Thank you.
Tell us about the law. What will it do?
Essentially, the law will mean that gay people can have a civil marriage. They'll be able to get a civil marriage license and go on as a married couple once the law is passed, which it should be passed next month.
Had this been illegal in all the provinces? Had it been legal in any province?
Well, actually, the amusing part is that for about 29 million of Canada's 13 to 2 million people, it is already entirely legal because court after court and province after province has ruled that under the Constitution of Canada, under the equality provision, it is illegal to prevent marriage licenses from being given to gay couples. Therefore, it's about 3 million people who have yet to be covered by it in about four provinces and two territories. And that's what this law will finally do. It'll make the law consistent across Canada.
How did it become a national issue?
It started province by province, really.
Yeah.
Gay couples had won a number of rights in past years, the right to pension benefits, to spousal benefits, and a couple took the issue to court in Quebec and in Ontario and in British Columbia and said, there's no reason why we should not also be able to get married. And court after court said, well, yes, your reasoning is good. The Charter protects you. And it wasn't until, 2003, when the Ontario Court of Appeal said, not only do we agree with you, but unlike the previous courts that have found this way, we are going to make this effective immediately. The other courts had given the government, 9 months to implement some kind of law, legal change. But Ontario made it effective illegally, and of course, the next day, people were lining up, gay couples were lining up to get married.
Where is the opposition the strongest?
I guess there's opposition across the country from a number of people who don't like the idea of gay marriage. The strongest provincial opposition is from Alberta, which does not yet have gay marriage. The court has not ruled there on that. But even there, the Attorney General has said, well, once Parliament passes this law, that's pretty much the end of what we can do. There's some conservatives in the government there, ministers, who are trying to get the Premier to take some kind of legal action against it. Frankly, it's very difficult to imagine what kind of legal action could be taken against it.
We're talking today about gay marriage in Canada, legislation passed there in Parliament that legalizes gay marriage across the country. 800-989-TALK is the number to call if you want to talk with Lauren Clements, who's a member of the Globe and Mail editorial board up in Toronto. And Joanne is on the line from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hello, Joanne.
Oh, hi.
You have a question for us?
I'm Canadian, and I live in Louisiana. And living in the States for 5 years now. We will eventually go back, but I'm really proud of the legislation, and I'm a heterosexual married female with two children, and I've never been more proud to be Canadian about this.
Thanks for the call, Joanne. What has been the American debate at all influenced debate up in Canada? Has that been part of the equation?
Not really. We've certainly followed the U.S. debate. In particular, I think President Bush wants just talking about a constitutional amendment to make it illegal across the United States. But no, essentially, it's an issue that started in Canada, has been fought in Canada, debated in Canada. We did follow, Vermont before our big issue began. Vermont had made a decision on civil unions, not quite gay marriage. But after that, it was really the provincial courts took it away.
And I'm guessing that the arguments more or less fall along the same lines. And in terms of the opposition, is there a strong a kind of a right-wing religious opposition? Would that be how you'd characterize it, or is it somewhat different in Canada?
Well, we did a poll. We did a poll last fall and found that about 54% of Canadians were in favor of gay marriage and about 42% were against it. We found that the younger you were, the more likely you were to accept gay marriage. There is obviously very strong religious opposition in Canada. A number of religious groups have been holding prayer vigils, and certainly a number of the conservatives in CAPC conservatives in the federal parliament are very religious, and on those grounds find it unacceptable to have gay marriage. But it's a broad spectrum. There are some on one end who will never accept it. There's probably a number in the middle who are uncomfortable with the idea, with the speed with which it's come. And then there are a lot of people who say, well, live and let live. You know, it's not going to affect my marriage if gays are allowed to marry.
Let's go out to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where Jake is on the line. Hi, Jake.
Hello. I have a little bit of a question and a comment. Where we live here in Oklahoma, my partner and I, we were married in San Francisco on our two-year anniversary. And we've came back to quite a few people saying, oh, well, this is going to affect marriage and it's not good for families. But I don't see how my being married is going to affect them any more than them being married is affecting me. And I want to say bravo to the Canadians. You know, before the Civil War, African Americans had to run up there to be free, and then it slowly started trickling down where the northern states they could be free. And finally, we got civil rights in the 60s, even though they said it wasn't natural for African Americans to marry whites. So it's just a slow process that will trickle down.
Okay, Jake, well, thank you for your call and your comment.
If I can make one comment
sure.
on the family issue, I think it's forgotten how many gay couples actually are families, have families, not only the extended family, but they may have children from previous marriages. If they're two women, one of them might have a child within the relationship. And I think it's all to the good that the institution of marriage, a very stable institution, is helping those families have a solid grounding in the community.
You said that there are only a few, what was it, 3 million Canadians who are prohibited because of where, were these in particular provinces, I suspect?
That's right. In Alberta and I think three other provinces and two territories had not yet had courts decide in that way.
And you said there isn't much they can do, but is there still a strong opposition, and are there campaigns now to try to find?
There is one thing that could be done, and the conservatives, the federal conservatives in Ottawa have not pronounced explicitly on this, but they have talked about bringing the question back onto the floor of the House if they form the next government, and if they reopen it, and if they use something called the notwithstanding clause that's in the Charter of Rights in our Constitution, they could use the notwithstanding clause to override the courts on this and to put the marriage definition back. I think that's very unlikely to happen, but that's the one way in which this could change.
All right, let's go to Detroit. Michael's on the line. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
Hey, I think that it's very narrow-minded of the United States. I mean, first of all, we ignore a lot of the things that Canada does right. They're first to do a lot of things that, you know, we should probably follow suit on. I mean, take example, the health care, for example, but also gay marriage. I'm both Republican and a Christian, and I'm all for gay marriage. I think that if the religious right doesn't want to recognize gay marriage, then they don't have to recognize it in their church. These people don't need to get married in the church, but to deny them the right to get married is actually against the Constitution. I mean, the Constitution makes it illegal for certain people to have rights that others can't, and to deny people the right to get married to whomever they want, I think, is against the Constitution.
Thanks for the call, Michael. Warren, was it a constitutional, or as you say, the charter was the basis for passing this law?
Yes. In 1982, Canada introduced what's called the Charter of Rights and Freedoms into the Constitution. One of the sections talks about equality, and although the explicit sections in there were equality of the sexes, equality of races, and that sort of thing, the courts about 10 years later said, well, it's an open-ended section, and we would read sexual orientation into that. And therefore, under the Constitution, gays have right to equal treatment under the Charter.
Warren Clements of the Toronto Globe and Mail, is this an issue certainly in the United States? It is a powerful political issue. It is highly emotional, highly charged, and one that really commands a lot of attention when it rises. Was it such an important issue in Canada?
Well, that's an interesting question. There are a lot of people who certainly feel very strongly about it, but I was struck at the Federal Conservatives Policy Convention about 4 months ago. Preston Manning, who was the leader of an earlier configuration of the party, stood up and said, look, you know, most Canadians don't care about gay marriage. They care about health care. They care about the economy. They don't care about this. And to the extent that you, the opposition party, harp on this, you're just going to lose a lot of people, and you're not really going to gain that much. So I think it's less of an issue than some people think it is, but there are certainly some very vocal opponents.
In the U.S., of course, the courts play a big role in interpreting these laws, and nothing's over until it's all the way through the courts. Is that pretty much the same system? Can there be court challenges now to this legislation?
There can't be court challenges. Well, I guess anybody can challenge anything, but I can't see grounds on which they would challenge it. The only thing that some people are worried about is that there isn't enough protection in there for churches not to hold religious weddings. But the Charter is fairly explicit on freedom of religion, and the Supreme Court of Canada has been fairly explicit in saying, no, the churches will be if it defends their beliefs, they will continue to be free not to marry gays in their churches.
So that could force some modification maybe in the legislation so that churches wouldn't have to perform them if they sensed it violated their religious beliefs?
Yes, although, as I say, I think it's clear enough already that you wouldn't need that change, but if that change comes, that's fine. I think it's everyone's understanding that the churches would not be affected by this.
We are talking about the movement, the decision by the Canadian Parliament to make legal in Canada gay marriage, and we're talking with Warren Clemens, a member of the Globe and Mail editorial board in Toronto. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Frank Stachow, sitting in for Neil Conan. Let's go out to Bob, who's on the line from Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Bob.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I told the screener I feel like I'm the only caller who thinks this is not a good idea, and it's not based on a religious perspective. It has more to do with all the data that I have read that when you create a fatherless home situation, children do not do as well both academically, financially, and you look at just the way they turn out. So if you take a lesbian couple, for instance, where you are creating homes without a father, you find greater delinquency. Just look at a single-parent home where there is just one sex represented. There are complications. There are problems from a societal perspective. And so I think that there is worth at least taking a second look before jumping on the bandwagon, where you have three out of your five provinces saying, wait a minute, we're not so sure that this is a great idea.
And you're talking about single-sex families, not single-parent, right? I want to make that clear. You're not saying single-parent.
I'm saying that there is evidence already from a single-parent perspective that shows that when you don't have both a father and a mother raising the child, that the children do not do as well. So I wonder where are we serving children? I know we want to talk about rights of homosexual couples to marry, but where are the rights of children where they seem to get overlooked in the equation? I'm not saying that you can't have children who do well in a same-sex home environment, but there is some question mark, at least based on everything I've read, which is volumes of material coming out of our government doing studies on this, showing fatherless homes in particular spell bad news for children.
All right. Well,
especially young boys.
Thanks for the call, Bob. Warren Clemens, was there much in the way of research that came up as part of this debate on how well children would do in these families?
Not as such, although, frankly, if I were to follow the argument through to its logical conclusion, gay couples in which the couple are male, you'd have two fathers, and therefore the children would be twice as well. I think a lot has to do with having two parents, and also, I think, with having female and male role models in your life. They don't necessarily need to be your parents. I certainly wouldn't see that as an argument against giving same-sex couples the right to marry. It's certainly a question worth pursuing in other aspects.
Is this? We talked about this, whether or not it's a big issue. It sounded like it was not as big an issue in Canada as it may be in the United States. What is the big issue for in terms of the conservative-liberal divide in Canada these days?
Well, I guess partly religious, that they don't think the Bible really expected there to be same-sex couples, and in fact, part of the Bible seems to speak very much against homosexuality. But I think also there's a feeling that, and I don't agree with it, but I think there's a feeling that the institution of marriage, heterosexual marriage, based on a man and a woman having children and having a stable basis for that those children, will be somehow diminished by the inclusion of gay couples into the marriage tent. There's some people who just don't find that acceptable. I could argue that all day, but I think that's the main thrust here.
From the time this was introduced as federal legislation to the time it was passed, how long had this been sort of part of the national debate in Canada?
It's been about 2 years. Jean Chrétien, the previous prime minister, decided not to appeal the Ontario Court of Appeal decision that said it's effective immediately. Instead, he sent a bill to the Supreme Court of Canada to ask them about the various legalities of it. So that was about 2 years ago, and then Prime Minister Paul Martin, the current Prime Minister, picked up from him, and it's been talked about very seriously for those 2 years.
I'm surprised at the quickness with which issues like this can sort of be processed in Canada by comparison to what happens in the U.S.
Well, it is actually a bit surprising for us, too. I mean, it was, you know, as recently as, I guess, 10 years ago, the Parliament was having passing resolutions saying marriage is strictly between a man and a woman. But as Jean Chrétien, the previous Prime Minister, said, you know, social times change, social values change. This is now, and it seems like a good idea, and I think most Canadians seem to be going along with it.
And apart from the couple of possibilities in terms of challenges that you mentioned earlier, do you suspect that Canadians now are going to move on?
I think so. Again, to pick up Preston Manning's point, I don't think most Canadians really care too much about it. It doesn't affect their daily life. They might have opinions on it, but in terms of what they worry about, in terms of their own families, I don't think they much care. If there's a gay couple next door, they'll judge them as individuals, whether they're married or whether they live in common law. I don't think it really affects them too much.
Warren Clemons, thank you very much for taking this time.
Thank you very much.
Warren Clemons is a member of the Globe and Mail editorial board and writes editorials for the Globe and Mail in Toronto. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Frank Stachow. Neil Conan is back tomorrow.